All right. We're ready. And I realize I lied. It was more than 1.25 minutes.
Oh, he's confronting me right now.
He's confronting you right on the front row? Wow. Hey, if you learn it in church, do it in church, right? Yeah, no. If you learn it in church, do it in church, I guess, right? Hey, that's for you guys. Yeah, all right. Are we ready? Did you guys bring your journals when I asked everybody? Nice. Did anybody during worship have like a sense that they're supposed to stop and write something? No, it's okay. There's no right or wrong here. You did? Yeah, was.
The lyrics are just so moving and so something I want to hang on to for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know, fearing not.
Yep.
Not being anxious for anything.
Yeah.
Those concepts.
Okay, cool.
They resonate.
Yeah, awesome. Well, you know what? So we've been talking about hearing God's voice for how many weeks now? It's been, I think, 12. This is the 12th week. So by now, we've learned about how to recognize his heart before we recognize the actual voice of God. Because if, you know, we hear a lot of traffic, right? And if you don't know his heart, you're going to just potentially listen to the wrong stuff, right? Because we all have like this little accuser maybe that lives inside of us. We also have this enemy called the accuser who's always interjecting ideas, right? And if you don't know God's heart, you might lock in and say, God just said, and accept an accusation that you have no business accepting, right? That's just one example. So learning his heart has been key, and we'll spend a lot of time talking about that. We've talked about over the last couple weeks the various ways we just walked through the scriptures that God speaks or communicates is a good word with his people, right? He shows us things. We see it with our eyes. We see it maybe with our heart. We feel it. We can hear it sometimes, right? Oil me, right? you're like, get to the catch, Daryl. All right, here's the catch. I am for two minutes, going to go silent. And I'd like you to get your books out. If you didn't bring your books, you can bring out your notepad on your phone. It doesn't bother me. Just please don't go Facebook, right? Don't go like use this as a time to get distracted and go play Galaga. But let's just like ask the Lord, do you want to share something? And open up your heart. This is just like starting a conversation with a human, right? Whatever you do, don't scrunch up your nose and look like it hurts, because talking to God doesn't hurt. Talking to people doesn't hurt. Talking to God doesn't hurt. So, Father, we just thank you that you're a God who speaks. You are a God who makes himself available to his kids. You love to communicate. You love to indicate things. You love to change us. You love to tell us the future. You love to speak to our present. You love to re-emphasize your love all throughout our lifetime. And so, God, I just ask that you, Holy Spirit, will show us things that you want to share and help us to write it down and articulate it well. And, Lord, for those of us who have something that we receive that's from you and it's for the entire body, give us the courage and the ability to share it well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I've got a timer going. 2 minutes, no Jeopardy music. Oh, if you need a book and you want one, Alex is offering. He's got a black one and a blue one. Ooh, yeah. The Holy Spirit just said stop. All right, so that's your timer. Did you guys get anything? Huh? You did? All right, cool. So I have the mic lit right here, and I was curious, did anybody receive something that was very specific to this group and worth sharing? That's the qualifications of that.
Could be?
Okay, well, Pete had his hand up first, so Pete wins.
Well, this Thank is a you. Verse in Ephesians that came to me when, from earlier reading, when the worship leader was talking about God loves us. It doesn't love us more if we do good things or love us less if we screw up. His love is absolute from the beginning until the end. And that's sometimes something hard for us to hear. This is a verse that I read several times. And I just, oh, that's nice. And then suddenly it occurred to me, this is a wowie. It's verse 3 in Ephesians. Praise be, it's the first one of his content. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Not just one or two, or occasionally toss one out because, oh, this is a good idea, I'll just toss a blessing out. Or that we have to wait until we get to heaven. He's given the believers every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world.
Yeah.
And that boggles my mind. Mm-hmm. When I finally understood what he was saying to us, I just, oh my goodness.
Man.
Oh my.
Very cool. Thank you.
Very cool.
So Ethan, do you ask the Lord if it was for the group or just for you?
Oh,
what did you, okay. Did he?
I guess it's my choice.
Okay.
He's leaving it up to me.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah. It's just very simple. He spoke to my heart and he said, I can speak through anything. He says, I can speak through you, speak through your spouse, through anyone. He spoke through a donkey. He also said, I can speak through a storm. Mm-hmm. I can speak through all circumstances. And then he said, listen for me.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Andrew.
Thank you for the opportunity to pause there before service. I think that sometimes we don't get that and we jump right in. And I feel like for me, I wanted to take and hear vividly a word from him that was for the congregation. So this is what he shared with me. And my notepad just closed. And it's reflected too in the season. So the warmer weather is coming back. We're like changing our routines. We're changing our kids' routines. And the Lord said to me, change is in the season. Change brings transformation. A changed behavior, a changed heart, a changed mindset. What is it that you need to change? Embrace that change, foster that change, and don't challenge it, but walk towards it boldly. Pray for what that change is in your life that you need to make. Pray for discernment that you know that that change that you're deciding on is coming from me. And then my youngest son's verse came to mind, which is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and plans to give you hope and a future.
Yeah.
And to gift that, it requires change. So for me, in this word, I felt like that was really for the congregation because it does feel like we're on this journey of change, whether it's through the culture of honor, whether it's, you know, being into a new building or making new friends and family. And I just, you know, really love the fact that God just said to me, I want you to share this with the congregation because there are people in this room that have that change that they're trying to make. And he's saying, embrace it, go after it and foster that and know it's from me. And I will give you a prosperous life when you do that. And I will give you hope. So whatever that change is, pray on it. You know, and make sure that you know that it's from him.
Amen.
And there will be a lot of fruit to that.
Amen. Yeah. Very cool. Nice. Check it in. No? Okay.
Now, this message isn't just for me. It's for others in this room because we all live busy lives. And just to get that quiet time, the Lord wants me to spend more time with him in quietness, you know, so I can listen to him. As my wife knows, my mind's always racing, this, that, and the other thing. Work, after work, what to do, make lists, check off these boxes, this, that box, and everything. And just settling down and getting some quiet time with him and hearing his word and being at peace.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Very cool. All right, I'll do Ron, and then we'll pause, and then next time maybe you'll jump on it quicker.
So mine was about a thankful heart, and I felt the Lord saying that he is so blessed to provide the things that we are thankful for. So, I don't know, we just didn't feel you know, weird about accepting wonderful things from the Lord. We should just have thankful hearts in all things.
Amen. Very cool. That's awesome. How are you doing, man? Good to see you. So this is a good exercise, right? It's like a workout. We did 2 minutes. Not going to kill anybody. If you are like fairly new and you're like, what the heck is going on? Well, you got to go back and listen to 12 weeks, and then it'll make sense. It's all on the website. Everything's transparent. But we want to hear God's voice, and it's one thing to say, God, I want to hear you, and then, all right, let's go to lunch. It's another thing to stop and actually give him a chance to say something, right? And so this is the perfect place to practice. This is the perfect place to get uncomfortable because we're among safe people who love each other. And this is the perfect place to actually read out loud what you believe he said, if it's for the group, because if it's not from God, you want to know it quick. And you want everybody to give you that eyes and that uncomfortable, right? And you're like, well, I hate that. I don't like that. It's better to know now that you're listening to the wrong voice, right? Or, hey, you're listening to the right voice. That's God's voice, right? We want to learn it. We want to memorize it. We want to know it, respond to it, live by it, right? All right, you cool with this? All right, if anybody didn't like it, you can give me your criticisms later. All right, please bring your journals with you next week. And, you know, I might do this some more. I really believe that this is a good exercise to tune in. You know what can I tell you what I believe he was saying to me while during the 2 minutes? It said, the fact that you came to me directly makes me so happy. The art of going direct is lost by so many in society. I think you think you're desperate to hear from me. I'm searching the earth looking for people interested in giving me their time. You know, we expect the King of Kings to fit into our shower time, our car ride. You know what I'm getting at? Like the King of Kings. I'll be over here if you want to talk to me. That's not a guilt trip. It's just a revelation. All right? Okay, cool. So we can now go into what we're going to say. John 16, I don't have a slide for this, but I just want to read it to you. It's just more confirmation of the heart of God. Jesus is speaking, and he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. He will not be presenting his own ideas. He will be telling you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by revealing to you whatever he receives from me. All that the Father has is mine, and this is what I mean when I say that the Spirit will reveal to you whatever he receives from me. Jesus is promising, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to live with you, and he's going to share everything that he needs to, and it'll be straight from me. It'll be direct. You know what I mean? So thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would leave heaven to live in a vessel like this. Amen? Amen. All right. How are we doing? Good. Nice. This is fun. This is really fun. I like the exercise. Do you? Cool. I told you this wasn't my idea. I have another pastor friend who started doing it at his church, and it was so funny. He and I got really excited when we realized that both of us churches were talking about hearing God's voice for about the same amount of time. It feels like the same Holy Spirit is sharing through many churches, right? And so I got to go to a pastor's breakfast yesterday where part of the breakfast time was, all right, what is the Lord saying to your church, to your church? And there was a lot of common theme going on as well in the greater group of pastors. So it's really exciting to see, you know. And we are not a bunch of good old boys who are, we're not alike at all of us different pastors, like, we're not alike. So if we're hearing the same Holy Spirit, even though we're, like, really different, that's good, right? Yeah, cool. Thank you, God. So, Palm Sunday today, right? Because next week is Easter? All right, cool. Resurrection Sunday. Now, Passover started today, right? Or yesterday, was it? Sundown. Yeah, so technically, last Friday was Good Friday, but, you know, we're going to celebrate it with the rest of the U.S. All right, like good Catholics. Would that put your head on spin? Palm Sunday was last Sunday. Okay, we're celebrating it. Oh, never mind. All right. So what does Palm Sunday stand out to me in 30 seconds or less? And you can see if you agree. The King of Glory rides in and he demonstrates humility as he rides in on this donkey when he should have ridden in on a war horse, right? He fulfills so many scriptures in just that one day alone. He rides into town and he, for the second time, tips all the tables over in the temple and he cleanses it. Like, you are not going to do this junk and distract my people from their primary purpose of prayer and connection with me, right? So he cleanses the temple, reprioritizing everything in their religion that day. Second time he did it, right? He is adored by all the people as he's doing it. Think about that. Some dude came in and started flipping tables, you might be a little afraid of him, but everybody's like, go, do it. Yeah, right? They actually enjoyed it. And then it talks about how children came running up and worshiped him. And the people were like, the priests were like, stop, tell them to stop. Kids don't usually run up and cozy up to violent weirdos, right? They just sensed his heart was so pure and that passion he was flipping was not an aggressive, nasty fashion. It was a passion for the heart of God, right? It was freedom in every flip. And then it also reminds me of the fact that while all this is going on, I mean, he's fulfilling scriptures and he's reprioritizing the stuff that's in the temple that's not right. And he's bringing, you know, like just identifying with all the various people groups and he's teaching daily in the temple and right in front of their eyes, the religious leaders, the religious people didn't identify him as the Messiah. You know what I mean? Which tells me that he could be right in front of us, and if we're not really looking and paying attention, we can miss him. So what does Palm Sunday stand out to me as? It stands out to me as a reminder, don't miss him. I don't really think about palms and waving and whatever. I'm just like, man, sober reminder, don't miss him. Is there something going on in life that I should be really looking for him instead of just like complaining about it? You know what I mean? Cool. Anybody want to miss him? Nope. Okay, good, good, good. You're at the right church. Let's not miss him. All right, so we're in Acts 11 today, just choosing to be there because I can. And we're in the story of Acts, and it's fairly early in the story of Acts, even though we're all the way 11 chapters in, but the church is still very young, okay? And Paul, the apostle, is not even yet a believer at this point, right? Or he was just, sorry, a very, very, very fresh new believer. I'll say it that way, okay? Stephen was just murdered by the priests, okay? And a wave of persecution has taken off in the city, and people are literally moving out of the city, and they're going several nations away in order to escape persecution, okay? Some moved as far away from Israel as the nation of Turkey, where they moved to the city of, you probably heard of it, Antioch, right? And it was in that city where believers were first referred to as Christians, okay? That's how early we are in the story of the church. They were just beginning to call them little Christs, Christians, okay? And in Acts 11:21, it says that the power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentile believed and turned to the Lord. Gentile means non-Jewish people. So people who had never even heard of the name Jehovah or the Lord, right? They worshiped all these other gods that they were introduced to, never heard of the Lord, were suddenly believing. And when I look at this scripture, this is like an important concept we need to grab onto. But when I read this, if I could summarize it in really simple mansplaining, I would say that the power of the Lord caused people to believe and turn to the Lord. Would you agree with that? And so it just really sobers me up that if we're looking to really make an impact and help people turn to the Lord, to believe, to experience freedom, to experience healing, to experience blessing, to really come in contact with the kindness of God that we just so appreciated this morning, right? We really want people to know him on that level. I just see this missing ingredient called the power of the Lord, which really drives people to want to know him. You know what I mean? So I sense as we're seeking his voice, we're supposed to be really just calling out and asking him for a fresh encounter with the power of God in our life. Know what I mean? You're shaking your head. Are you going to start asking with me? Can you make this part of your regimen? God, we can't change the world apart from the power of God at work. This time right now stands out more than any other time in my life as necessary for the God's power, because this time stands out for the most to me as the most argumentative society that I have ever encountered in my lifetime, right? I've not been alive all that long, but right? But would you agree, in your experience, would you find that there's a more argumentative society or time in your lifetime than now? Right? And so just adding more perfect argument to the mix is not going to help. Right? Matter of fact, if your argument's too good, you might get banned. Right? And so arguing is the last thing we need. Going back and learning the studies, like how to convince somebody, is going to be, I'm just telling you right now, worthless going forward. If you guys have those studies that are like, how to explain to this kind of person, chuck it, really, I'm serious. Like, you can't use it any longer. People have been inundated with proof and information. History's changing, science is changing. Depending on what political side you're on, your history and your science work for you. Not the other way around, right? And I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just trying to say it's a reality. We're watching stuff being rewritten right before our very eyes. And so you and your perfect argument mean squat in this world. The only thing that's going to come through is the power of God. And if we feel like, but God, I don't feel like I have your power in my life, he's desperate for people to turn to him. Which means he's open to say, I have it. If you'll open your arms and you'll listen and you'll cry out, I will give it to you. I promise. It's a promise, right? And I can give you 10 scriptures to prove what I'm about to say, but I just think this makes so much more sense to just say a willing heart, and to those who say, here I am, he's looking. And this area of New Hampshire is so unchurched. I mean, this is the perfect setting. Perfect Esther setting for such a time as this. Broken me, broken you, right? And you know God doesn't really care about you. Like, he's not disqualifying you because of your brokenness. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, if we're all waiting for the right time, the right situation, like, if I'm more healed, if I'm more knowledgeable, if I'm more qualified, you'll never be. Right? Cool. I'm really liking this. I've gotten through one note. All right. So people are now turning to the Lord, and these are baby Christians. I'm talking about people who yesterday were worshiping other gods are now saying, I'm not worshiping them anymore. I'm worshiping something else, right? Baby Christians, no idea. You know what I mean? This is the week that they would be worshiping Ishtar, the goddess of fertility, with bunnies and chicks. You think I'm kidding? You think I'm kidding? Right? It's true. And now they're like, wait a minute. It's not even about that. It's not about the bunny. It's not about the chicks and the eggs and the fertility and the, oh. But I love that. I love my little baskets with grass in it. All the, right? Chicks dig my basket. You see what I did there? All right. I'm not trying to tell you don't celebrate Easter with eggs and chicks and stuff. You know what I'm getting at? I'm just trying to say, like, there's a people, and they're trying to make the leap from that to, wait a minute, there's a guy who died on a cross, and he came back 3 days later, and somehow that's supposed to affect my life? I'm so used to this female of productivity and, you know, blessing my life. And you're trying to say it's not that, but it's this, right? And why should I believe? Oh, because I see the power of God. I just saw someone healed in an amazing way. I just saw someone set free in an amazing way. So I can't even argue. I can either cancel you out and shut you down and ban you, or I can accept it, but there's no argument that I have in this moment because that person is not the same. You know what I mean? Right? And they have to believe. And so the Church of Jerusalem sends Barnabas to Antioch to encourage these people, okay? And Barnabas realized that he should go find this guy he met named Saul, whose later his name was changed to Paul, and bring him to back him up, okay? Barnabas' name actually literally means son of encouragement. The dude was known for just having this giving everybody a chance kind of personality, which is why he gave Paul a chance when no one else would. You know what I mean? And sometimes the world just needs an encourager to walk in and say, I'm not here to change anything. I'm just here to push you to fully enjoy and maximize what you've already got going on. You know what I mean? And I think the church knew that, and that's why they sent Barnabas. And it speaks to me about what God is looking for in this move. As we're blessing the world, as we're reaching out to show people Christ, as we're reaching out and saying, God, move in power and begin to heal and restore and bring things to life in this community, that the next wave of things that needs to come out of the church is a voice of encouragement. The world doesn't need more spankings. Why they're not good enough, why they should know better, why they should be so much further, why they're so unlovable. If they would just change X, Y, and Z, then God would accept them. World doesn't need that either, right? You guys kind of know this, right? Am I wasting your time? All right, cool. So God is going to send encouragers, and you're like, well, who are those encouraging people? Those pastors really need to get it together. And I'm here to hold up a mirror and say, you know who God's going to send as the voice of encouragement to this community? It's not the pastors. I'm holding a mirror now, and it's facing you, just so you know. You know who he's sending? He's sending you. Well, what do I say? What kind of encouragement do I bring? I'm nearly not that kind of person. That's why we're listening to God's voice. I don't think people really want your opinions and your encouragement. They want to hear what is God saying to them. That he loves them, right? That they were worth dying for. Right? Okay, so all right, I'll do it, fine. Some people talk about, you know, the ability to hear God's voice is the ability to prophesy. You comfortable with that interchangeable term? Anybody want to fight me on that one? Good. I really wasn't looking forward to a fight. Guess what? So 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 3. I don't have, do I? No, I don't think I have a slide for this. And it says this, the one who prophesies is helping others grow in the Lord, encouraging and comforting them. Did you catch that? In King James, it's like the spirit of prophecy is encouragement, edification, right? Like just you hearing God and speaking that into someone else's life is simply letting God be God to them and encouraging them to grow in it. Dang. Do you like the job description? Do you like it? Huh? It's easy, right? I mean, it's intimidating when you stop and think, I'm a mouthpiece for God himself. But if you just get over that for a minute and you just realize all I have to do is show up into someone's life in a broken place and say, God, use me to help you be you in their life. I want to help them heal or forgive or get set free of something. And I just want to encourage them and love on them and tell them they're good enough because the Lord loves them and he's going to call them higher. And he knows the plans and the purposes he has for them and their thoughts of peace and not of evil to give them a future and a hope. And you just tell that to them and boom, get out of the way. Amen. right? Yes. Amen. You guys said a lot of amens. That's great. I must have hit a nerve. Huh? 1 Corinthians 14:3. So then they brought in Paul as well. And, you know, the thing that Paul represented, and he was just known for walking into an area and just displaying God's power. And I want to just reemphasize that need, that we need so much more than words. We need the action behind the words, and it's not human action. We need the power of God. And so, again, put that on your list of things you spend significant time asking God for. Okay. I don't know why it comes and goes in seasons. Like, I could tell you of times in my life where the power of God was so incredibly strong, and I was, you know, seeing thousands of people. I'm not saying me, but with groups of people where thousands of people could be, you know, in that one moment healed and brought to Christ. I've seen, like, marriages restored and they shouldn't have been, and forgiveness, supernatural forgiveness, like people who were so bitter and angry. Or I've seen people so captive by the enemy and their life is so broken and hurting, and just suddenly relief in that moment, and just a big old puddle of snot and tears, you know, just set free and walk differently the next day. And I don't know why in different seasons and in different areas of the U.S. and we don't see that as much, but I do know that when you don't see it as much, that's where opportunity comes to bring it. You know what I mean? There are people who like to walk into an area that's already moving and just get it moving a little better. And then there are people who like to walk into an area where nothing is moving and they're like, we're going to get it going, right? And by God's providence and plan, welcome to the place where nothing's moving, right? So you guys have to be starters with me. So cool. And I don't mean to say it's not happening anywhere, because there are some places where God's power is really moving. I just generally speak, okay? All right. Are you with me? I am just about out of time. I wonder if I should go any deeper. Huh? I know. You know what the problem is? Keep going a little bit. All right. The problem is, and this is a great problem. I love this problem. We're worshiping now more than we have, which, in my opinion, like, more can happen in that moment than just because some guy stood up here and did this. Okay? Huh? It's a good problem. You're the drummer. What are you talking about? Half of it's your fault because you don't stop moving. yeah, no, it's a blessing. I'm just being funny. So anyways, guys, you know, you realize, you know, this thing, we call this a pulpit. I know this is pathetic for, like, what you might see in some churches. You see the giant wooden inspiring pulpit, right? But you understand that that thing didn't even show up in the church until 300 years after Jesus left. 300 years went by where people did something. What did they do? What did they do? Oh, my gosh. Huh? Like, if I was the pastor 300 years ago and I just put this up here and I'm like, all right, guys, we're going to have church. You're like, what the heck are we doing? Right? 300 years of this. Not just like a couple weeks and then they realize we got to fill the space with something. This is getting boring real quick. Right? 300 years, people went to their church, their home, no sermon, no centerpiece, and they did exactly what we did, asking what is God saying, and worshiping, and sharing in communion together, which was not a thimble and a wafer, right? It was actually a meal. It's like, you want some bread? Here, you want some? Right? And they drank, and they shared stories and testimonies, and they laughed together, and they cried together, and they prophesied into each other's situations. God is going to do an amazing thing in this broken moment. Amen. And no one ever said, dang, I wish I had a sermon about now. Right? The sermons didn't even show up until people went illiterate and stopped reading. That's the purpose of this right here, is me to talk down to you illiterate people and tell you all the things you can't get by yourselves. I'm sorry if I sound... I am not trying to be sarcastic. If I was sarcastic, I would say, kiss my ring you pee on. But I didn't say that because I'm restrained. My point in this is to wake us up and realize, you know, 300 years, people didn't look to a sermon. They didn't buy books. They didn't go on the internet and go download podcasts and try to get, like, what is God saying to me? They were looking for the direct source to speak to their life, and they experienced God in the context of community and family. And they loved it so much. We do it once a week. They did it every night somewhere. Someone's house was church that night. Maybe not everybody showed up, but the point was they loved it so much, it was going on somewhere every night. I'm feeling gypped. You know what I mean?
We'll come over if you're serving.
Okay, yeah. We're having chicken. Rachel's chicken. I hope the heart of what I'm trying to say, because it's an ugly mess because it wasn't on my plan of things to say, is showing, because the church has got to grow beyond the limitations it's learned, which is shut up, listen to a sermon, go pick up your kids and go home. We have to learn how to hear his voice. And the reason I'm doing it in here is because it's nice and safe and it's quiet and we love each other and we can laugh. But man, we're going to have to take it out there. Right? Like, Ron, you got to do it in the dentist chair, right? We have to do it on the phone. We have to do it at work. I had a dude call me up 2 weeks ago, man, and he was like, it was like 9 a.m. Did I tell you this story already? No? Checking in. All right, it was like 9 a.m. or so, and I think he was still a little inebriated from the night before. Okay? And he lives in, in a place that's completely shut down. New Hampshire's not shut down, right? Unless you're in Nashua. Okay, but compared to some states went completely locked down, and this poor guy has been, like, not leaving his apartment for a year now, and completely blown through savings and 401k and anything else he could think of, and he's like, yeah, I'm a little depressed right now, you know what I mean? And now I've got my work hat on, okay? I'm a salesperson, and if I misrepresent my company, they'll hand me my walking papers, right? Could be. So, but I hear God definitely say, you're going to have to talk to this guy and pray with him. Right? So I listen to the big boss. And he's the guy speaking, and I have no indication this is even okay. And I'm like, I helped him. I'm like, I'm going to get you some connections. I'm going to put your resume out there with a couple guys, but can I pray with you as well? He's like, you want what? Can I pray with you? You want to pay for what? No. P. I literally had to pee. R-A-Y. He goes, oh yeah. I'm like a Holy Ghost guy. I don't know. I'm a Holy Ghost. He kept saying Holy Ghost. I don't know what that was. I'm like a Holy Ghost guy, whatever. And I'm like, okay, good. Let's just pray. You know? And he had no idea, like, and this is what makes it so special. No idea how to even pray. Like, he's just talking on top of me. Like, I'm saying things. Like, I'm now in prophetic mode, and I'm calling stuff out that's going on in his life. And he's like, oh, yeah, because, yeah, she doesn't like me, like, right now. And, you know. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. I'm all out of money. I'm all out of options. You know, he's just talking right on top of the prayer. And at one point, he's like, you know, he cuts me off. I didn't even get to amen. And that's okay, right? It's okay. There's no whatever. And the dude just, like, cuts me off. And he's like, yeah, because I really have. I've just been so depressed lately, and I just need help. And I don't know where to go, and nobody cares. And nobody even comes out of their house. And, you know, and it was a mess. And I was like, no, yeah, we're going to have to continue this conversation. So you have, you know, obviously you got my number. So call me. And he's like, you'll talk to me again? You'll talk to me again. Can you imagine the world is saying that? What does the world see of the church when it has to ask the question, you mean you'll talk to me again? Have we collectively given off the impression, I don't want to talk to you? I almost feel like I got nothing more to say. And helping, you know, I really did take his contact to some other folks that I believe were looking for folks and they could potentially have an agreement and they could do some work together. And so, yeah, part of it is just offering like real solutions too, not just, hey, you're freezing, be warm and well fed. I'll talk to you later. I'll pray for you. It's like, give them something, right? So there's some of that in there. But the whole point to this, man, is that the world is really hungry and it's a perfect time right now to be a light. For those of you who are like, God, I want to see you, well then let's step into someone's chaos and bring it. Right. Which leads to the last piece that I am going to talk about. It's not in the notes. I keep staring at this like they're meaningful and they're really not. And that is that, so on the email, when I emailed out the point to you, where I asked, would you consider coming at like 9:30 or as close to it as possible? You know, I have a reason for that. I'm not just asking you so that we can get started early, okay? I'm really asking that when you come, you are driving in the car and you're not fighting with your kids or your spouse. You're praying, God, at 9:30, I'm going to meet with somebody who may need to be encouraged and loved on, who might need to hear your voice, who might need to have someone pray. Or you know what? Maybe they don't need anything, but just shake their hand, tell them that you missed them, ask them how the week's going, right? And we just need to be ready to do any and all of the above, which is so different from the I come to church to be fed. It's the I'm coming to church and I'm bringing a bag of feed. And some weeks you're going to be like, well, that was kind of anticlimactic. I was expecting a big result and nothing happened. I talked to a couple of people. But you know what? We don't know what the impact is on their life. And then on other moments, you're going to be like, that was a God appointment. I was here at the right moment, and that has just spurned a conversation that we're going to continue this week with that person and hook them up with resources and help, and we're going to love each other, and now we're praying for each other, and now we're encouraging each other, and we're texting each other, and we're giving each other verses, and man, my new best friend. Know what I mean? Please, please, I'm not telling you because I want you here early so I can, you know, get something out of you. I want you to just be Jesus to the rest of this community, this fellowship, okay? Are you cool with that request? 9:30? Awesome, you guys are awesome. Steve and Kim will be here if anyone wants to talk. I've no guilt, guys. If you have children, you know, like you guys got a busload. I get it, man. You're just trying to find the matching shoe. I know. I feel your pain, and I only have the two boys, and it's like, where is your other shoe? Okay, good. Great. I get it. So, you know, I'm not trying to say, you know, no guilt, but the other thing that I've noticed that when we come early, and then I promise I'm done, when you come early, have you ever been late and you're kind of, your emotions are all spun up because you're trying to just find a parking spot, you're trying to get in the doors and you're like, it's just racing, right? And then you walk in the room and there's a bunch of people who are doing stuff and it's just, it's hard to like find your grounds, get level set, find a seat, plug in, and now worship is going, right? And worship is now three songs in before you finally got to a point where you can be like, all right, I'm not mad at the kids anymore. I'm not mad at my husband anymore. Right?
Talking to me today.
Am I? Sorry. we're going to just pick this up and put this right here. But you know what I'm saying? So by coming early and having that discussion with somebody else, it gives you a chance to like dial down. You know what I mean by that? Have some conversation, maybe be encouraged and loved on by somebody else, right? Which is the feeding part of coming to church. And then when you're doing that, just that little bit of exchange, it disarms all the anxiety, all of the spun up thing, because the enemy's going to spin you up on a Sunday. I guarantee you. I mean, he's been doing it for couple thousand years now, right? And then by song number one, you're ready to just worship the Lord. You're not going in with this, Hail Mary, God, I'm just so mad and upset and exploded right now that I just feel like I got to pick up the pieces for three songs before I can even begin to tell you how much I love you and how much you mean to me. Right? So that's also part of that. So if you need something in order for that to happen, if you're like, I can't do that without coffee, we'll find a way to get coffee, right? I mean, like, I don't want to make it all about dessert and jelly donuts, because if I do, then you'll miss the point and go come for the donuts, right? And so I will work with you if you work with me. We good? All right. Thank you, God. Yeah, we're coming to church to feed, not to be fed. Right? Yes. What's that?
Serving.
We come to serve. Yes. All right, cool. So I'm going to end us with a prayer. No need to put us up the last slide because it doesn't really connect with anything we've talked about anyways. Kinds of things we're looking for is desperately seeking God's voice, desperately seeking his power, and then making ourselves, just committing freshly to make ourselves available to be that mouthpiece of encouragement and that place where we're making ourselves more available to the community, to the family at large. Amen? Amen. Matter of fact, I don't even want to start this prayer. If you guys are cool with that, I want you to start it. Would somebody do it? Yeah? Ethan again. Ethan for 4 points.
Heavenly Father, we our hearts are just so attuned with that concept, Lord, that we can't do anything without you.
Yeah.
That, Lord, we need your mighty power. It wasn't Paul that did any miracles, Lord. It was you working through Paul. It was you encouraging Barnabas to be an encourager. And Lord, we need that power working through us, Lord God. For I know I can't do it on my own. I know I can't. So Lord, just simply, I just ask, Lord, that for each one here, you, Lord God, would pour your power out.
Yeah.
Your love, the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, that we would be a light shining on a hill. That we would be the hands and feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are in reality the body of Christ. Lord, this is natural for the body of Christ, Lord God.
Yes.
But we need your supernatural power, Lord God. Your supernatural intervention. We pray this in your Son's most holy and precious name, the name above all names. Jesus Christ.
Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else who hasn't had a chance?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your Son, Jesus, that he came down and he took our sins and just crushed them and took them away. When he died on the cross for us, he tore down any barrier that would prevent us from having any relationship with you. We just thank you so much, God. We thank you for the mercies. We couldn't have done this on our own, and we needed that the big brother Jesus to do that and clear that path for us, God. We just thank you. We ask that you just speak to us and we would quiet ourselves before you, that the busyness that we create would just melt away. God, we have no reason to just stop and quiet ourselves before you. There's nothing standing between us. Jesus took that all away. We just thank you, God. Thank you for freeing us. Every day we just need to go out and glorify your name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
I just keep thinking about the little prayer of Jabez. I pray this prayer every day, and I've watched the Lord do incredible miracles and allow me to minister to hundreds, literally, of people in my business on a phone, to strangers that call, I don't even know them. And the next thing I know, we're sharing Jesus, and I'm sending out books and praying, and it's incredible. It's awesome. And so it just says, Lord, bless me that I may be a blessing, that I may be a blessing. Enlarge my territory, Lord. Enlarge my territory for you. Enlarge my territory to bring more of you into my business, into my job, wherever I am, that I may bring people to Christ. I may encourage people in Christ. Lord, bring an anointing on us that wherever we go, wherever our feet walk, whatever we do, Lord, that we can minister in a way that's powerful for you, that we can do a mighty, powerful work, Lord. We're so ready, Lord. You've given us so much. And Lord, just pray, Lord, enlarge our territory. Enlarge it that we can minister wherever we go, that we can do a work for you wherever we go, that we can be your hands and your feet and your mouthpiece and do a powerful, mighty work, Lord, to bring people to Christ and to encourage them, Lord, to encourage those that need healing, that need encouragement and hope, that just need to be able to trust you, Lord. Enlarge our territory for you. And then it says, Lord, that you may put your hand of favor upon me. Lord, give us favor. Turn the hearts of the people on the jobs. Turn the hearts of the people in Walmart. Turn the hearts of the people wherever we go, Lord, out there in favor, Lord, so that we can minister, so that we can open up a whole new world to bring you, Jesus, into their world. Lord, give us favor. This is one of the greatest gifts, Father, that you've bestowed upon us, is the favor of God, that you turn the heart, Lord, in favor towards us, that we may minister for you. So, Lord, give us favor wherever we are, that we may bring people to Christ and encourage them and do a powerful, mighty work just with our testimonies, Lord. Bring those people into our life, Father, that are a fit for you, that are a fit for our testimony, so that we can minister, so that we can get out there, Lord, and just be able to just bring people that are so hurting, that so need you, Jesus, that are so lost, so lost. Oh God, pour your anointing on all of us. Lord, anoint us, anoint our giftings, anoint our words, anoint all that we speak and all that we do. Lord, we just lift out our hands to you and just say, anoint us, Jesus. Pour your anointing that we can do a work, that we can get out there, Lord, out of these four walls, out there, to people, Father God, right now that are so desperate for truth, not for church, not for religion, for truth. For you, Jesus, for your love, because that's who you are, Lord. You are love. For you, Holy Spirit, fall on us, that as we leave this place, even this day, wherever we go today, wherever we go, open up an opportunity and bring someone right in our path, wherever we are, that needs you. And then, Holy Spirit, give us the words to speak in such a way, God, that you would touch the heart of that person and bring them to you. Do a mighty work, Lord. And just the last bit says, keep us from evil. Yes. Yes, Lord, bind the evil one away from us. And just open the way, Lord. Open the way, Father, that we could do a mighty, powerful, 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 awesome work for you. Amen.
Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that you've sent your Son on the cross. Take away our sins, our burdens, that what is bonding us and holding us down, Father. Let us as believers have now the Holy Spirit that breathes through us. It's your breath that we breathe, Father. Father, may we take today what we've heard, what we've written in our books, whatever you've spoken to us, and not keep it here in these four walls, but take the church and walk it out in our lives this week, Lord. So when we come back next week, that we have testimonies of people that we've that you've touched through us and using us as your vessel.
Yeah.
Lord, that we have the believer's authority that you have given us to trample on these serpents and these evil things that want to bind us down. Keep us from you, from knowing who you are, for having that personal relationship with you, Father. And Lord, I pray today, if there is anyone here right now that the Lord is touching them and saying, don't you leave. Please don't leave. Seek an elder, seek someone to pray for you, because you walk out of here, Satan's going to be all over you. And we would rather you be here and have his authority and knowing who you are and who's in you to bind that up, not allow it to have any more turmoil in your life. So when you walk out of here, you can have the love of Jesus that's going to show unto other people, and you're going to be sharing your testimony. We are who we are through our testimony of him who that is in us. Let us walk it out with a great faith and great authority. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Yahweh.
Amen. Amen. Make it real, God. Make us ache inside for more of your power and voice. Make it ache. I don't want to learn the skill of turning you down to busyness. Just overcome our busyness. Overcome our obligations until every part of us just wants you more than anything else, I pray. For the sake of the world, God, do it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right. If anybody wants prayer, just like Marguerite said, we'll have some people come up and let's just talk and pray and go for it. And if not, then happy Palm Sunday. Give each other five.